If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. These will not be the only verses that I read tonight, but for the sake of time, we won't be turning to all of the passages that I will read. I will simply read from selected portions of Scripture, but 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 2 really help to serve as a capstone set of verses for what I want to talk about briefly this evening. Over the past few weeks, as Pastor Steve has been taking us through the early verses, the first chapter of the book of Galatians, we've been hearing a lot about the gospel. Now, that's not unusual to the past 3 weeks of our services. Every Sunday morning, in every service, in some way, shape, or form, we hear about the gospel. But it has been especially front and center as we have started in the book of Galatians because of Paul's primary concern to defend the truth of the gospel to the churches in Galatia. So my question for us tonight is, why do believers need the gospel too? Why do believers need the gospel too? Most, if not all of us in here tonight, would agree that unbelievers need to hear and respond to the gospel. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," Paul writes, "for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then the verse that I quoted for the children earlier, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." These passages and others clearly lay out that it is only by putting our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the truths that are encapsulated in the gospel, all that he has done for us. If our hope is in anything, it must be in that for us to be made right with God. And we would agree that unbelievers need to hear and respond to this gospel. But have you thought about the fact that we as believers need the gospel too? I have a few points. I can't say everything that could be said. I'm not that smart. There's not enough time. But I have a few points that I would like to run through to help us think about why we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, also need to hear and even preach to ourselves the gospel on a regular basis. The first two will be very quick because I'm picking up from what Pastor Steve has been preaching on the past couple of weeks. The first one is this: false gospels attempt to distract, distort, and confuse. Particularly last week, Pastor Steve discussed the reality of false gospels. Number two, we live in a world hostile to the gospel. We heard about this morning. The world, in its natural course of things, is not friendly to the gospel. It is anti-gospel, if you will. Now, these two things by themselves don't establish for us why we as Christians need to regularly hear the gospel, but they provide an appropriate framework. There are those who are, or who would, preach to us, who would give us a false gospel that will attempt to distract, distort our vision, confuse us. The world in which we live and operate on a daily basis is anti-gospel. With these in mind, think about a few points with me why we as believers, in light of this reality, need to hear and preach to our own hearts the gospel on a regular basis. First, or point number three, for our own sake, for the sake of our own souls, we dare not abandon the gospel. We should not think that we would have any hope if we have claimed to put our faith in Christ, and yet, at some point, think, this gospel is not for me. I don't need this. I'm okay on my own. If we find ourselves in that point, we should not think that we have hope in some past event. Our hope must resolutely stay in the gospel. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. He's reminding them of the gospel. By which you are being saved, if. That's a huge conditional word. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Paul's word to the Corinthians is, don't abandon the gospel. This gospel is good news if you stay the course with this gospel. He writes the same thing to the church at Colossae. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. That is the gospel. What God has done for us in Christ, reconciling us to him. But then he adds, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. For our own sake, we dare not abandon the gospel. The scripture is clear that if we do, there is no hope for us. There is no hope except in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of future generations, number four, we must not abandon the gospel. For the sake of future generations, we must not abandon the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul has a four-generational perspective here of passing on what has been received. What Paul received from the Lord Jesus Christ, which we heard about this morning, he passed on to Timothy. Timothy is to pass it on to others who will be faithful to pass it on to others. For the sake of future generations, what we pass on must be the gospel. And if we do not preach the gospel to ourselves in a world that is hostile to the gospel, we will drift. And this is not what we will pass on. An example from church history is very clear on this point. Athanasius, the bishop of Alexandria, known by friends as the father of orthodoxy, known by foes as the black dwarf because of the color of his skin, because of his stature. Athanasius found himself in a very intense debate in which the gospel literally hung on one syllable. There were those who would say that Christ is similar to God the Father in his divinity. Athanasius defended the truth of the scriptures that Christ is not like the Father in his divinity. He is the same. He shares the same nature. In the debate being taken up in the Greek language, this difference between similar and same hung on one syllable. For those opposed to Athanasius, they wanted not one who was of the same substance as the Father, not one who was perfect God, who could be a substitutionary sacrifice for all who would put their faith in him. They wanted something very different. At this point, the truth of the gospel hung literally on one syllable. And it is not too much to say that had Athanasius and his followers not stood up for truth in their debate, we may not know the gospel today. But because they saw the importance, the gospel has been passed from generation to generation so that today we can know the gospel. For the sake of future generations, we dare not abandon the gospel. Number five, the gospel tells us of the God who saved us by his grace. The gospel tells us of the God who saved us by his grace. It is this God who saved us who will keep us to the end. The God who saved us by his grace will keep us to the end. Jesus says as much in John 10, verses 28 and 29. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. He will keep us by his power to the end, and our statement of faith says as much. All true believers endure to the end. Those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by his Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace, but shall persevere to the end. Believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, and bring reproach on the cause of Christ and temporal judgments on themselves. Yet they shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The God who by his grace has saved us is the one who will keep us. When we preach the gospel to ourselves, we are reminded that it is God who has saved us, and that it is he who will keep us. The gospel tells us of the God who freed us from sin, death, and condemnation. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And this is a word of hope that every believer needs to hear on a regular basis. That God in his grace has freed us from sin, from death, from condemnation. The gospel tells us as much, so that we as believers can be certain that because of what God has done in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. That is a word of hope that we must preach to ourselves. Finally, the truths of the gospel are the only full and final ground of comfort in life and in death. The truths of the gospel are the only full and final ground of comfort in life and death. Paul puts it this way at the end of Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. This is the gospel, that Christ has died for us, that he was raised. Paul goes on to say later, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This must be our hope, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Neither life nor death, nothing in this life. The Heidelberg Catechism puts it this way. In its opening question, it asks, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? And it answers as follows. That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who, with his precious blood, has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. What is your only hope in life and in death? Is your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified on your behalf, on a sovereign God who will sustain you until the end of your life? Or is your hope in something less? We as believers must repeatedly hear the truths of the gospel. God uses the gospel to keep us. What is your hope? Let your only hope in life and in death be this: the Lord Jesus Christ crucified and raised on your behalf. I'm going to pray for the offertory, so I'm going to go ahead and ask the gentlemen who are going to take up the offering to go ahead and come forward. And as I close our time in prayer, I will pray, and then as soon as I say amen, the instrumentalists will begin and we will go ahead and take up the offering. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, Father, we thank you for the truths of the gospel that have been preserved for us by your grace down through the generations of church history. Father, we thank you that we have your word, and by your word we can know that there has been one that you have sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the penalty that was rightly ours. And Father, I pray that we as believers would not take this for granted. I pray that we would not see the gospel as simply an entrance doctrine. I pray that we would not see the gospel as simply something that gets us in, and after we are part of the family of God, something that we no longer need to give our attention to. Father, I pray that you would help us to see that it is the truths embodied in the gospel and what our Lord has done on our behalf. It is those truths that give us confidence to bring our requests before you. It is these truths that give us confidence to know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It is these truths that give us confidence to know that you will keep us to the end and that you will send your Son back for us. And Father, as now we give our attention to our offering, Father, it is our desire that you would use these gifts for the cause of advancing the gospel among the nations, both in our community and around the world, so that others might know this comfort that we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you and thank you for the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and glorified. We pray, Father, that you would provide us opportunities and that we would be faithful to communicate these truths to others as well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen.